Hello and welcome to the Lead Hership Show. I am your host, Harriet Schumacher, certified executive coach and women's leadership expert. Thank you for tuning in. Each week, we bring forward-thinking, inspiring, and real conversations for women who want to lead and live more fully. I'm so excited to have you here. I hope you enjoy the next conversation. Thanks for tuning in. We are live. And thank you so much for being here, everyone. This is Amanda Hansen, style coach, owner of simplystylish.ca. And we're actually meeting for the very first time. We have, you know, connected via social media, which is the beauty of the world that we're in right now. And Amanda is here to host a very important conversation today about style and dress and freedom and feeling and authenticity and, you know, patriarchy, I think, is falling into this somewhere along the line. And like, we've just had a really rapid fire 5-minute conversation. And like, I love everything that you represent and what you believe in. So thank you so much for being here and offering us your time.
I'm so excited to talk about this too.
So why don't you get started by telling us about you, you know, who you are, what do you do, why do you do it? What is a style coach? Like, we want to know all of these things.
Sure. The reason actually why I call myself a style coach and not a personal stylist is because where I find how I like to work with my clients is more of a coaching role rather than me doing all the work for you and just dressing a body. So, right. You know, traditionally, personal styling came from like, you know, Hollywood, you know, all the celebrities have a personal stylist. And, you know, it's definitely, you know, come out into the everyday woman. And that's who I want to work with. I want to work with the everyday woman, but I don't want to just dress a body. I don't want to say, this is what you're supposed to wear. And this is what you're not supposed to wear. I don't find telling somebody what to do or having somebody tell me what to do empowering. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I want, give me the tools, give me your knowledge, and then let me apply it to what feels good for me, like in my body, like what feels good for me so that I can trust myself. But I mean, we still need tools, knowledge, guidance, and coaching, right? Like in order to learn more. So that's how I see my role is never telling a woman what she should be wearing, because I believe that only she can identify what she wants to wear, because I can't be in her body. Right. I can't tell, like, do you actually feel good? Do you feel excited? Do you feel like you in your clothes? I can't tell her that, only she can. But where I play a large role is when women are struggling, when they can't find the clothes or the outfits that fit their body the way that they want it to, that it's comfortable, that it actually represents who they are. And so I'm there to help them identify what are the reasons why. And here's the information to now take this information and be empowered to apply it to yourself. Eventually, like, I want to get myself out of a job with my clients.
Right.
I actually have my master's in education. So I'm a teacher at heart. I want to teach, I want to empower, and I want to coach. Mm-hmm. And because what I've found is where a lot of women struggle, it's actually not in the outward stuff, even though it starts there, it's triggered there. Yeah. Where they really struggle is all in the inward. It's with their thoughts. It's their internal limitations that they put on themselves that I have to coach them through to kind of break down those barriers for them. Mm-hmm. So that they can see that really the answers are on the inside, and it's, you know, some beliefs that actually we need to shift first. Before we can start shifting how we express ourselves in our clothes, because style is really just an outward expression of who we are on the inside. But if we don't know who we are on the inside, if we don't know how we want to express ourselves, how does that happen? So I help my clients in that process.
So talk to me then. I love this piece around, you know, my background is in teaching and education, and now I take this coach approach to knowledge, which is different from, you know, what you initially said, which is a personal stylist would assume that my role here is to impart wisdom on you, like to deliver all of this information to you and dress the body and give you the tools and then be gone. You're like, actually, I'm taking an approach where I'm asking more questions and I'm trying to really understand who you are and what's unique to you. In that process, with being a style coach, what's the biggest, you mentioned barriers, you mentioned beliefs. Mm-hmm. What are some of the trends that you're noticing in women today around, you know, beliefs and barriers? What are you coming up against?
I'd say that the top two, mm-hmm. One is their body, mm-hmm. is their thoughts and feelings around their body, and understanding that for years and still currently, we are only being shown certain body types. Mm-hmm. In the media, in marketing, all bodies are not equally represented in clothes, in commercials, in movies, in politics. Like there's just been a certain type of body, a certain type of woman that is being represented, and it's not true for the majority of our population. Mm-hmm. And so when we are only shown one body type and one type of woman, and we can't relate to her, we start to blame ourselves. Right. And we have, you know, we have certain businesses, certain huge conglomerates like the diet industry and the fitness industry and the beauty industry that purposely make millions of dollars off of feeding you insecurities that don't exist. Mm-hmm. So an example, cellulite. Cellulite's not bad. It doesn't cause harm. Mm-hmm. It's not painful. Mm-hmm. It's just all of a sudden somebody, some business decided that they were going to say that cellulite was undesirable and it's ugly. And here is a cream.
Right.
To reduce it. Or it comes from a belief that you only have cellulite if you have fat on your body. And there is a lot of fat phobia in this world that has been fostered too. And women are so afraid of gaining weight and what that might mean for them. Mm-hmm. They're scared that if I gain weight, it means I'm lazy. It means I don't care about myself. It means that I don't take care of myself, but none of that is true. Mm-hmm. And so so what happens is when women start gaining weight and their clothes are fitting differently and they can actually see a stomach or they see a roll, they start to panic and they start to blame their body. Mm-hmm. And the clothes aren't fitting, so they blame their body. And then they end up wearing clothes to hide their body, where I don't believe we truly want to hide ourselves. Like, I don't think inherently we want to hide ourselves. I think we want to feel good about ourselves. And I don't think that equates hiding. So what I help women understand is that clothes are shapes. Our body is made up of shapes. And we want to find clothes that mimic our shapes. Mm-hmm. So I kind of give them the analogy that if you were to take a square table and you were to take a round table, okay, they're both structurally made different. If you were to put a square tablecloth on a round table, it's not going to fit.
Yeah.
Is it the table's fault or is it the tablecloth's fault?
Right.
It's the tablecloth. It's the same thing. Our clothes work best for certain shapes over others. And so I help teach women understanding that it's the clothes, not your body. So the biggest limitation I impart on women is also just a challenge. Like, why can't you show your stomach? Like, why is a stomach bad? Is it really ugly? Or have you been taught that it is? Mm-hmm. Is that a belief you want to continue to believe about yourself?
Mm-hmm. And I can totally relate to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, a lot of women.
Well, and now it's like every shirt that you go out to buy is a belly shirt. It's like, mm-hmm. That's what it seems like. I'm like, I don't know are we losing fabric or does it just feel like every store has got, the shirts are getting shorter and shorter, but my belly is getting bigger and bigger. So what's going on here? Like,
well, the crop top is just what's really popular, and trends generally are created to go on. Well, let's look at the models that walk the runway, right? Yeah. They're usually meant to go on one certain body type. And it doesn't mean that if you have a stomach that you can't wear a belly top. And that's my whole point is you can wear the belly top, even if you have a big belly, like that is okay.
Yeah.
It's just, we've been conditioned to believe that it's not okay.
Right. Yep. I have been known to rock a belly top with a belly. So I'm in there. I'm doing it.
To me, that's freedom. It's like, mm-hmm. I don't like rules. I don't like anybody telling me what to do and what not to do. So I'm always challenging that. And I help my clients coach that, because a lot of them don't even realize that they've bought into this belief and that they can actually change their belief. They don't have to buy into it anymore. I'm not saying it's easy. It's hard to do. It even comes up for myself mm-hmm. because my conditioning has been so ingrained, but I have a way to coach myself if I catch myself being unkind to my body. Mm-hmm. And another limitation I would say is women being in the present. And so a lot of them are stuck in the past, what their life used to look like, what their body used to look like, mm-hmm. Holding on to clothes that represented an older version of themselves. And they kind of get a little bit stuck in the past, or they're focused on the future. What will my body look like in the future? What if I lose 10 pounds? And they won't allow themselves and give themselves permission to wear clothes that actually fit the body that they have now in the present. Because that's really, that's all we have. The future actually doesn't exist. Yeah. I mean, you can have visions, you can have goals, you can have, you know, you want to try and manifest something in the future. Absolutely. But if you get stuck in that, then you're not honoring where you're at and where you are in the present. And so my biggest message to women is you don't have to do anything to earn to feel good in your clothes. Yeah. Your body doesn't have to change. You don't have to make a certain amount of money. You don't have to do anything to earn it. You already earn it. You already are deserving of wearing clothes that feel good now. So it's those two are the biggest messages that I feel like that shifts them most with women in feeling more confident in their clothes.
That's so huge, you know, because I've been sitting here debating, well, I want to clean out my closet, right? Mm-hmm. So I go through this personal conversation in my head when I look at my clothes, and a lot of the things, either my style is changing, and to be honest, my body has changed. Mm-hmm. And so the style changing thing, I'm like, I can handle that. That's cool. That's like refreshing. And, you know, I recognize that. But the part where I really struggle is when I like the clothes, but they don't fit anymore. Mm-hmm. And I go through this like self-deprecating conversation in my head about, you should keep it because you're going to lose weight. And you know, it's almost like, so I end up with all of these clothes that are sitting in my closet that don't fit me right now, but I don't want to let them go because what you just said, they represent a period in my life where I felt really good about myself. And so I want to hold on to that memory, because if I let that go, then there's something that I don't know what it is that I'm letting go. I'm sure you can help me figure that out. But the other piece too is like not giving myself permission to just let go and to accept what is. And I love what you were saying there. It's like dress for the body that you have, not for the body that you want. Mm-hmm. And I think if I was able to do that, man, I would have a lot less clutter in my closet. I'd probably dress more confidently on a day-to-day basis and not have this like torturous conversation that I have with myself about not feeling like I'm enough or feeling like I'm failing somehow, because the pants that I had 2 years ago no longer fit.
Well, I have so much to say about this.
There's so many, I'm sure you do. I'm just
so
like
many things. Okay. So the first thing that stuck out to me is when you said, you're looking at these clothes that, you know, in the past represented a time that made you feel really good about yourself.
Yeah.
I guess my question would be, what is holding you back from feeling really good about yourself right now in the current state and body you're in right now? Mm-hmm. And can you, is it possible?
Yeah.
Well, first off, I know it is.
Yes.
Women are under the assumption that thinner, smaller means better. Mm-hmm. It's not true. it doesn't have to be true. We can fully embrace and love ourselves at any shape or size. And really, if we don't learn the skills to start doing that more, then we're never going to be happy.
Yeah.
Because there's one thing that I can guarantee is we are always going to change.
Yeah.
Our bodies are always going to change.
Yeah.
Like health-wise, metabolism, hormones,
yes.
And just seasons of our life. Like with COVID, it is normal to gain weight during times of stress. Like our body is under stress. So it is supposed to kick in to make us want to have more comfort foods, which generally are carbs and sugars, which does generally cause us to gain weight. So understanding that this is normal, not something to panic about,
right,
does not mean you do not care about yourself. Your body is surviving right now. It is in survival mode. And this is just a season, and seasons pass and seasons change. So get comfortable with change. Like that is the biggest thing, is, you know, my biggest takeaway from COVID was like, I can't control a whole lot. I can control my values, mm-hmm. my internal values. That is the only thing that I can control. I can't change how much money I make. I can't change the economy. I can't change what type of house, I can't control any of these outward things because the economy could crash. I could lose all of my clients, you know, I might have to move out of my house. Like there's so many outward things that I can't control.
Yeah.
So instead I'm going to look inward for what I can control. And that is my, you know, my internal values and the choices that I make. And my conscious choice every day is to always be as kind to myself as I can. I don't have the expectation I'm always going to be kind to myself, but I always have that reminder. And all of my decisions are, and my beliefs are based on, is this being kind to myself or not? Mm. And once I can ask myself that, I'm always going to choose, I'm going to choose the option that allows myself to be kinder. Mm-hmm. So the other thing is when you open up your closet and you see these clothes that you love, but no longer fit, you are always going to have that little mini debate with yourself. So it's going to be triggered subconsciously.
Yes.
So in my mind, visually take them out. What it's doing is it's energetically and even space-wise releasing and creating room for the things that you actually love and can wear. So lots of times we subconsciously don't give ourselves permission to replace an item of clothing until it's actually gone. So that's why how I teach women is like your closet is your prime real estate and only the clothes that you love and that currently fit you get to live there. I actually have a 5-step test that all of my clothes need to pass. All 5 of them, not just 1, not just 4. It needs to pass all 5 of them in order for them to earn a place in my closet. And that's based on what I currently own or anything new coming in.
Okay.
So, and I've been there, like in the past year, I've probably gained 15 pounds. And so I've had these clothes that I love. And I still love them, but they no longer fit. So what I've done is I've taken them out of my closet and I've packed them away.
Right.
Because my body might change again. It might not. And so what I've then, once I realize, like once I decide, okay, I do love these, but they don't fit. They're just packed away in a bin.
Right.
I don't have to get rid of them. They can come back possibly. Right.
Yeah.
If, right. Yeah. Like it could, if it doesn't, it's out of my eyes, it's out of my face. And what it's allowed me, it's given myself energetically and space-wise permission to bring in new clothes that make me feel just as good.
Okay.
So I had to get rid of a bunch of clothes that I love, but you know what? I brought in a bunch of new clothes that I love too, because I knew I will always be able to find clothes I love. I have an abundance mentality. I know I can always find new clothes that I love that fit the body that I have right now.
I love that. I'm going to do that. You're helping me so much right now because I am like, you know, it is not for the faint of heart to go in there and do that, like rewiring in a closet. Like if you've got a closet and you've got some stuff in there that you've had for a long time, it's hard work, you know,
it's mentally, an emotional process.
It's an emotional process. It's a financial process. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot that goes in there and a lot of triggering that can happen, but I never thought I could just be kind to myself and put them in a box and say, maybe see you later.
Yeah.
It's not goodbye. Just not for right now.
It's just the season.
Yay. I love the freedom that I got from all of that. That's good. Cause I literally this has been weighing on my mind so much. And the other piece that I love about what you said, and I think is important for us to discuss, and I really resonate with this for myself, is that our values have changed. Or what's your perspective on this in relation to COVID? Like I feel, and I can tell you based on how I'm dressing and how I'm showing up in the world and what I'm prioritizing in my life, and just also the conversations that I have with women, is that our values have shifted. And so talk to me about your perception around that, and specifically values that we hold around style. I want to talk about like the world as it relates to women and how we value women for how they look. And have you noticed any change in terms of the way that women are, you know, prioritizing style or what they're seeing as, you know, what their beliefs are around style and how to dress and how to feel accepted and, you know, good in their clothing. So just dissect all that for me. I think you know what I'm referring to here. I'm going to stop talking and let you take over now.
Well, so my biggest value, and it's my own internal personal value, is freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And so that drives everything that I do. It drives how I parent.
Yeah.
It drives the type of job, how I work, how much I work. Yes. And it also drives my wardrobe. And so it's the freedom of being able to fully express the dynamics of my personality.
Okay.
And not feeling like I need to conform with anybody else's agenda or telling me what I can and can't wear. Mm-hmm. Now, that's beautiful for somebody who is her own boss. But yes. Yes. When you have to work for somebody else in the corporate environment where it's still generally ruled by men, it's structured by men, they get to make the rules, and you have to conform. And how that comes across in how we dress is going to be really interesting because so many people are now working from home or they're part-time from home or in the office. Like it looks so different. And I had already seen it coming. Mm-hmm. The workforce with the younger generation coming, it's getting more and more casual. Corporate, I feel like, is moving. Like, I'm just trying to think where I live. There's very few strict corporate jobs where you have to dress a certain way. It's definitely more on the business casual side, where corporate generally is extremely formal.
Yeah.
And there's strict rules around it. I remember when I was, when I first started personal style, like styling, I did take a course and I was being taught about corporate rules and how women should dress. I was pissed. Sorry, can we swear?
Yes.
Yeah. I was so angry and I made a decision. It was like, then I don't know if I want to work with corporate people in corporate, because it's like, I don't know how I can authentically tell a woman that this is how she has to dress.
Like, like pantyhose. Are we talking pantyhose?
Pantyhose. They have to have their hair up, like makeup. They can only wear a skirt, a blouse, and a jacket, certain type of heel. And I was so angry. I was so angry. And so, along this journey, it is because women are held to a different standard. Mm-hmm. They are judged differently. There's so much pressure on women and how they dress. And you see it in like the Hollywood stars, and they show the difference, how men are interviewed versus women when they're on the red carpet, right? There's just so much emphasis on the woman and how she should dress and what it means about her in how she dresses. Like, dress codes generally in the school system, they're all directed towards girls, not boys, because there's that underlying belief that women's bodies are sexualized and objectified by men, and that we have to dress a certain way so that we don't trigger them. Right. Or we're operating under the belief that if we show a shoulder or a little bit of cleavage, it's inappropriate.
Yeah.
Or that we are, sexualizing ourselves, where it's like, no, it's just skin. It's just a body part. Your belief around it is what sexualizes it, not the actual garment, my actual body part. Yeah. And so I would love to see us get away from that. I'd love to see more freedom in the workforce for people to dress how they want to dress. But I think there's like this fear that, oh, if I give you the freedom, then you're not, you're going to dress awful. Well, maybe that's the case with some.
Right.
And I'm not saying get rid of all of the rules, but just look at them a little bit closer and allow a little bit more freedom, especially with the next generation is really pushing, non-conforming gender identity, right? So if you have a person coming in and they're non-binary and they don't conform to dressing for a gender role, then what's appropriate for them? What if it's a non-binary person who's in a male body and they might look like a male, but how they want to dress is more feminine?
Right.
What if they want to wear jewelry? What if they want to wear makeup? Mm-hmm. Like, is that okay? Like, I think it should be okay. I just feel like the whole society as a whole, and then with COVID happening and everybody just wanting to be like, why am I wearing these suits? It doesn't really make sense. If I can still look put together, I can still look professional, but not have to conform to one way of that being.
Right. That's interesting, because I think, and I know this has come up with my own clients in coaching, where they want to. So let's say you have a member of your team who you don't really feel is dressing appropriately for the environment that you're mm-hmm. trying to create for the culture. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a bit of a slippery slope here around what is quote unquote appropriate. Like I think about, you know, the environment that I was raised in, you know, how girls should dress, even how girls should sit, mm-hmm. you know, cross your feet at the ankles, et cetera. And then all of that. And I love what you said about, you know, the clothes are neutral. The clothes mm-hmm. don't have, it's what we, the stories that we make up about the clothes that we are wearing, mm-hmm. which brings them to life. So 100% agree with that. But then also this piece around, you know, dressing to impress. Well, who are we trying to impress? You know, and then this belief that we are like hustling through our image, right? In order to be accepted. But I know a lot of leaders struggle with how to have a conversation with somebody around this if they feel like they're not really dressing, well, quote unquote, the part, whatever that is. Like, I know that this is very ambiguous and it's mm-hmm. complex, right? Because that mm-hmm. is changing. But what would you say to them? Like, if you feel like somebody is, you know, coming in and not dressing, you know, I don't even know how to begin this conversation. Cause like we're calling into question what is appropriate today, but it's hard because some people have an expectation that you should, you know, have a tie on when you are at work, whether you're on a Zoom call or not. And people are like, I'm at home and my kids are in the background. And I'm like, the fact that I'm even here with you today is a miracle. So how do you navigate this in the corporate context, this conversation around style and what you wear?
I think it's something that is just always going to be changing. And I think it's something that you just need to have maybe a part of the conversation at the beginning with your staff on what we all think is appropriate. And maybe it's something mm-hmm. that happens collectively rather than from the top down, because yes. generally the top down is mostly men.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. There's still lots of women, you know, high up in the corporate world, but I think asking questions around it and having an open and honest discussion around it, I think is what's going to actually change anything. And I think it's also it is uncomfortable when you feel like you're the one that has to make, you're pretty much telling somebody else what they can and can't wear. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. I don't feel comfortable with that. I don't think anybody feels comfortable with that. So instead, have education around it, have dialogue around it with your staff, with your employees, yeah. with your colleagues. Like, what do we want to consider appropriate attire, you know, for us in this particular business? And the thing is, there's so many different types of businesses and so yes. many different types of brands. And so there isn't a one size fits all. I think it needs to come down individually for that business and what feels good. And instead of you having to sit down with this person and say, I don't like what you're wearing, you should wear this instead. Just have an open and honest conversation about, you know, our clothes. They're just an outward expression of who we are. Mm-hmm. How do you feel like you want to express yourself in your style in this work environment? And some people, they might not even have ever asked themselves. So you can always just bring in a professional to teach about it.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
Bring in a professional and help the professional understand maybe your brand or what you would like to see in the workforce. Mm-hmm. But also, like, if you want to be inclusive with all people, you also need to think, like, yeah, you might be in a corporate job, but somebody coming into your corporate business at the beginning may not have the financial ability right yet.
Yes.
to go and buy all of the nicest things. Or, you know, maybe they're a person that lived in a world where they could never have nice things and never even know how to do that or even think about that. Like, there's mm-hmm. so much dynamics internally with poverty, with mental illness, with different ways of expressing your gender and sexuality. There's so many dynamics that go along with it. And just trying to put people in a box and tell them to conform, I don't think is a way to inspire happiness and productivity in the work environment. So I think just an open and honest conversation and getting feedback from the people that work for you or with you and how they want to express themselves. I don't know. I don't know if that's the right answer.
Yeah.
An answer that feels good to me.
Yeah, it feels good to me too. I don't think that there is necessarily a right answer. I think that there's good, you know, where people struggle is in the gray areas where it's like, mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is okay or not okay, and I want to be inclusive, but something doesn't feel right here, and I feel like, or other people are coming and complaining, and they're like, oh, this is a sticky situation. I don't know how to handle this. I don't know how to have this conversation, because who am I to judge how somebody else dresses? Yeah. But at the same time, I love what you're saying about, well, what kind of culture do you ultimately want to create here?
Yeah.
Because some organizations are like, if you want to work here, you got to wear a suit and tie, and that's who we are. And mm-hmm. you have to decide ultimately, is this a place where you can
absolutely
feel good? Like, is this for you? Mm-hmm. You know, is this for you? And other places are like, you know what, roll in whatever you got on, because it's about the work. It's not about, you know, how you dress while you're doing it. So I think that you're going to find, as you navigate corporate culture, you're going to find a lot of different vibes. We'll call them vibes for now.
For sure. And you know, the person who doesn't want to wear the suit and tie, I highly question whether they'll really want to work in that work environment anyway, right? Exactly. Like,
yes.
But yeah. I mean, you know, I also want to say that, say I have to go to court mm-hmm. and I need a killer lawyer. Mm-hmm. I don't want that lawyer to roll in jeans and a hoodie. Like, yeah. I don't. I yeah. want my lawyer to look like a freaking shark. I want her in right. a killer red power suit. That's what I right. want.
Like, my I am in good hands with you. That's funny.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
So there is a thing I believe that we need to address for ourselves, number one, but we yeah. also do need to pay attention to how do we want the people around us to feel and react to us?
Yes.
And like, I don't want, if I was, you know, a 5-year-old child going to kindergarten for the first time, I don't want my kindergartner teacher to be wearing a red power suit. That would intimidate me.
Right.
I would want
right.
my teacher to wear something, you know, more relaxed, casual, that she probably looks a little bit more like my mother. Like,
yeah.
So it's understanding how to dress for ourselves, but also to dress for our environment, and understand that how we do dress will affect those around us and how they perceive us. And so I think if you can balance both of those two, you're going to have success.
Yeah, I love that. Tell me this. What's your reaction to this statement? Because I've heard this before and I want your perspective on it. Dress for the role you want, not the role that you have.
So that's interesting. I think it kind of falls back on dressing, you know, being in the present, but it is still okay to dress, like, it is okay to have a vision or a future. Mm-hmm. I always dress for how I feel. Like, that's what always guides me. So mm-hmm. I have to give a speech on a stage.
Yep.
And I'm feeling really nervous and I'm feeling a little nauseous and I'm feeling kind of scared and that I just want to hide and I don't want to do this, all of those normal feelings.
Yeah.
So then I'm not feeling bold in that moment, but I want to feel bold. I want to get on that stage and I want to knock it out of the park. I want to have impact. So at that moment I dress, well, I'm not feeling bold right now, but I want to feel bold. So I'm going to dress bold.
Love it.
So those are the times that I'm going to put on my red pants and my red heels and a bright blue top, because I love contrast and I want to pair two bold colors together and make a statement. And so when I put that outfit on, I'm tapping into that part of me and how I want to feel. So I think you can take that same analogy and put it towards that. So it's like, I want to be the boss. I want to be the manager. Right. So I don't feel that right now. And I don't have that job right now, but I want to dress for the person who already feels that way.
Yes.
And so wearing something that helps you tap into that feeling and that gives you that feeling, you're going to start to act like that person.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And
yeah.
I love so it.
That's my answer.
I think it's really good. And at the core of all of this is, and I've heard you talk about this a couple of times, is how do you want to feel, or how does this make you feel, or how are you feeling right now, or how do you want to feel?
Yeah.
And that is that the essence of empowerment and the essence of feeling free, which is beautiful. Okay, couple last things here that I want to ask you, and then I want you to tell us how we can find you, and how anybody who's listening to this, if they're curious about you and what you do, how they can connect with you. So we had a very brief conversation, something that I saw on your Instagram around being braless. And it's always been this thing where moms come home and they exhale when they take their bra off when they get home. And it's like, finally, my bra's off and I'm home. I can relax now. So I was really curious about your perceptions around this, because definitely, like, I don't need to wear a bra. I choose to wear one, but I could be braless. I don't need it for support. I'm in the itty bitty titty committee over here, and that's fine with me. But I would probably feel very uncomfortable walking into a business without a bra on. So what's your perception around this? Talk to me about it. Why did you post this?
Well, I think, so like I said, freedom is always number one for me. So in my mind, there is no, everybody should go braless if, you know, screw bras, let's burn all the bras. I'm not that. It's if you don't want to wear a bra, you should not feel like you need to have to wear one. But the thing is, we have been conditioned to be afraid of the nipple. Like, we're afraid of what it means. We're afraid of men staring at them. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, like, that's not the nipple's problem. That's the man's problem. And the men need to be taught, if you see a nipple, don't freaking stare at it. Oh, don't make this woman uncomfortable. Like, that is not the woman's problem. And so we wear a bra for two reasons. One is, some of us do actually need support, and it gives our back support and it brings relief 100%. And especially as we've aged for women, you know, if it's literally to their belly button, they want that support. They want to lift the girls.
Yes.
And then the other reason is the women, like, who don't need to wear one, they're forced to wear one because they're afraid of showing the nipple.
Yes.
And so I just want to bring awareness that it is not fair. It is not equal that it is okay for men to show their body, you know, their upper half, their chest, their nipple, and that it's not okay for women. And the sole thing is just because men have sexualized it, and not men alone, women have sexualized their breasts. And it is, it provides pleasure. It's visually beautiful. Like, I understand conceptually all those things, but if we can shift away from it, we can shift the objectification of them.
Yeah.
And so it's more just like, all bodies are good bodies. Like, it is not bad to show a nipple.
Yeah. I love that. If I had a, like, a dollar for every time that I've gone into a professional meeting with a man, and the first thing that he's done is looked at my chest or talked to my chest and had to navigate that over my career, like, it is, I'd be rich. Really and truly, it is. And I say this to my husband and he's flabbergasted. And I'm like, no, really, this is the thing. And I don't have anything to look at. So I'm like, why are you looking there? Why? Like, there's nothing to see here. And I don't, like, have cleavage. I don't flaunt it, but it's like a default thing. Like, let's check out this rack and see what's here. And so it's definitely been sexualized. And I would love to get to the place where I felt. And I mean, ultimately that's going to be up to me and, like, how I've navigated this my entire career, as I'm sure lots of other women have too. When those types of, you have those types of encounters, those types of situations, how do you navigate it? I think that's probably what's held me back from, not wearing a bra, is because I'm worried, you know, how uncomfortable I'm going to feel in that space. Not because I have an issue with letting my nipples out. I don't have an issue with that. Yeah.
I've worked with several clients who work in a male dominated industry, and they will not wear a skirt. They will not wear a dress, and all of their tops have to be high cut.
Right.
And I was just like, and I understand it. Like, I understand we are still living in that world.
Yes.
But it needs to shift. It needs to change. We're having the wrong conversations in targeting women and how they should and shouldn't dress, and that it is up to them to keep certain parts of their bodies hidden, where the conversation actually needs to shift towards men and educating them on what is appropriate ways to interact with women. Mm-hmm. What are inappropriate ways? And these are practices that you have to practice now, because obviously it has not been taught to them. And they need to be held to the higher standard, not us.
So I'm going to really, like, age myself here, because you're making me think of something else. So I'm thinking yes to everything that you've just said. Yes, we need to educate men, and we should be able to dress how we want to dress, and we should have, we should have freedom. There's this other part of society that I'm noticing, because I'm a mom now and I've got, you know, two girls. And so you pay attention to different things, but I'm noticing that in the, like, you know, teenage and early 20 kind of category, specifically with girls, there is a trend towards wearing the least amount of clothes that you possibly can. Mm-hmm. And part of my brain is, well, good for you, you know, be free. you know, don't conform. But the other part of me is you are conforming and you are objectifying yourself because that's the world that we live in. And you're going out there and dressing to attract attention to yourself by showing other parts of your body. So I don't have a fully formed thought here, but you're leading me to, have we really made any progress in terms of how we, as women, how we judge ourselves and the types of clothes that are being put out there? I think we're still, I don't think we've made that much progress personally.
Well, I think it's, first off, you kind of said it, that if women are going out and dressing and showing the least, you know, they're showing a larger part or parts of their bodies, mm-hmm. By wearing, you know, less clothes. Mm-hmm. That's what you said, is that they're going out there and objectifying themselves. That's still holding on to the belief that our bodies are to be sexualized, and that because a woman is showing more skin means she is doing it for attention.
Right.
That's an assumption.
It is an assumption.
Yeah. So it's first recognizing that it is an assumption and it may not be true.
Yep. 100%.
But I understand where some of this is coming from, and it's a battle I've done myself, because yeah. It's like, I don't want my 8-year-old to be sexualized.
Right. This is where I'm at.
Right. Like, I don't want our girls at a young age to recognize that they are sexualized by men and that they can manipulate you. They can use their bodies, not to manipulate men, but like to draw mm-hmm. attention. But I believe it goes deeper than that. I believe that they're on social media and watching
yeah.
young girls
yeah.
use filters, obsess on thinness. And so to me, the deeper conversation is not really about what we wear. It's like, that isn't real. Like, what you're watching isn't real. This is mm-hmm. fake. It's social media. This isn't real life. These aren't real bodies. They are doing things to manipulate the way their hair, skin, or bodies look.
Yeah.
And so I think a deeper conversation needs to be around your child's own body image and what feels right to them. So it always needs to come back to them. I have a podcast episode. So, you know, I have a podcast. You're going to be on my podcast.
Yes. Yeah,
I have a podcast episode coming out fairly soon, actually, about this whole topic.
Okay, good.
About, you know, school dress codes and what it really means. And so me and this mom were talking, and really it comes back to asking your child what feels good for you. So what makes you feel good, and what you're wearing, does it make sense for the activity you're going to do today?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same thing I teach women. Does it feel good for you? And is it going to support you during your day? Does it make sense for the activity you are going to do?
Yes.
And I think teaching them, our children at a young age, to trust themselves, that is essentially what is going to guide them. So when they are influenced by somebody else, they're going to be like, screw you. I dress for me.
Yes.
And it's they're only objectified if we assume that they are objectifying themselves. Yeah. I think it has shifted, where in the olden days, women had to wear clothes that went to the top of their neck to their ankle.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't show their wrists. Like, they couldn't show anything about themselves because it's an assumption that we're sexualizing them.
Right.
And that their bodies are to be owned and to be taken by men. I feel like now, actually, just having the freedom, if you want to show your belly, you want to show your legs, have the freedom to do that. Do it because it makes you feel good. You're not doing it because you think somebody's going to like you, or a boy is going to like you more.
Yes.
And just having those conversations. So first off, understanding that just because they dress that way doesn't actually mean what you think it means, mm-hmm. but to actually have deep, meaningful conversations with your children about what they wear is an expression of who they are, and what do you want to say about yourself in your clothes, and how do you want to feel? That ultimately is what's going to guide you. So like my daughter, I give her full freedom. The mm-hmm. only time I ever intervene is like, go check the temperature today.
Yeah.
What are you doing today? Is what you're wearing going to support the weather?
Yeah.
And is it going to support your activities? And then other than that, she can wear whatever the heck she wants to do.
Yes. This is a very deep topic that, mm-hmm. you know, when I think of empowerment from a place of like just clothing, and where my head was going is there's a camp out there. Like, there's camps on things, right? There's a camp out there mm-hmm. that's like, women are empowered because they are free enough to dress themselves with their ass cheeks hanging out. And that is a symbol of female empowerment. And I'm like, mm-hmm. yes. And who are you doing that for? I don't believe at 20, you have developed enough like cognitive awareness to know that, that you're not doing that because someone's telling you you should in order to fit a prescriptive mold of what a, you know, sexualized woman should look like, right? So that's where my head is at. I'm like, I don't really think that it's empowerment. I think it's enslavement in some ways. We just aren't conscious enough to really process that. So that's where I'm going with it, is have we really evolved that much, especially now that we have social media, and especially where we're really being told what style is or what we should look like that is, you know, so huge. And
you're so right. And that's why I did touch on the aspect of like, we need to have the conversations that you are being influenced. And it is having that awareness, and it is a fear of a deep fear of mine. So I raised a son, I have an adult son. And so I partly started to raise him before social media, and then social media came halfway through. And so it's going to be very different than my 8-year-old daughter, who is going to be completely raised in an environment where social media exists, and how that is going to influence her. That's why I talk about what I do. It's why I have a podcast about called Disrupting Women, the Disrupted Woman podcast, because it's all about disrupting social norms and recognizing that we are being influenced, and to recognize that influence and really always come back to us.
I
100%, it's tough. And especially at a young age, you are so, your brain is wired to fit in with your peers.
Yes. 100%. Yeah. The more I cannot stand out, the better, the safer I will be.
Exactly. You need to have those conversations. You have to have those conversations with your child so that they can recognize it. Like, you want those fake eyelashes because all your friends have them.
I know.
Right.
Of course, I don't want to look different from them, because then I'm an outsider, and being outside is alone, and bad things happen when you are alone. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a battle that, it's a battle that I have with myself. Cause like, I've stopped dyeing my hair. It'll be 2 years and a few months when I've stopped dyeing my hair and embracing my gray. I whatever is the low maintenance for me as possible is what guides me. Like, but it's hard when we have, when a society, the younger it is, they are being influenced in what beauty looks like. And I'm hoping to educate the women of now who are raising these girls to have these conversations.
Yes. That's where I was just going as I was thinking about this, like the key to unlocking this is in the mothers, and you know, that pattern that we has been handed down, and how we have been raised in a system that has told us that there's, you know, how women should look and how women should behave. And 100%. I've loved this conversation.
Me too.
Okay. So how do we find you?
So I'm probably the most active on Instagram. I love Instagram. So I'm under simplystylish.ca on Instagram. I'm on Facebook as well. Not as active there, but I'm on Facebook under Simply Stylish Inc. And I have a website, simplystylish.ca, and everything on my website is, if you want to work with me one-on-one, I do have a group program, like a membership with women in there, and I teach virtually. I work with clients virtually. I'd say most of my clients, I'd say 90% of them right now, are all virtual, and I work with women all over the world. So yeah, that's how to work with me.
I love that. I love that. So definitely, everybody will check you out, and, thank you so much for, there's so much that we could talk about. I feel like we need to have you back and like go deeper, because this is just scratching the surface of topics that I'm particularly passionate about. I love the closet idea, and I am going to go do that. I'm going to be kind to myself, and I'm just going to, the things that I love that are, do not fit, I'm just going to give myself some grace, because you are, I was laughing. I'm like, if anybody comes out of COVID weighing less, like, we can't be friends, because I ate chips and pasta for 8 months straight. So this is survival eating for me. This is like stress trigger food. So 100%. I love that. Give ourselves permission just to like be compassionate and give ourselves some grace. So I'm going to do that. Absolutely. I'm going to sort out the clutter in my closet that's making me feel less than confident right now. So thank you for that gift, and thank you for your wisdom and for being here. And we love it.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Take care. Thanks, Amanda.
Hello again. This is Harriet Schumacher, and thank you for listening and tuning into the Leadership Show. I really hope that you enjoyed what we were discussing today. And if you did, if you liked what you heard and you want to continue to be a part of our community, here's a couple of ways that you can do that. First, make sure that you subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. You want to make sure that you get our releases coming to you each week. And if you would love to give us a rating and give us some feedback about the show, of course, we would love to hear your thoughts. And on another note, if you want to be a part of our community, we have a private Facebook group for women in leadership. It is actually called the Women in Leadership Group. You can find us on Facebook. We have over 1,300 professional women who are inside that community who are having amazing conversations right now about what they care the most about. I go live inside that group every Tuesday to give you free training and free coaching. So we hope that you join. We'd love to see you over there. So thanks so much, everyone. Enjoy your day, and we look forward to hearing you and being with you again next week. Take care.